You know the vibes. Welcome back to the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. Man, it's been a while. I've missed you, BJ. I've missed you guys listening. I've missed talking NBA. Well, I talk about NBA every day anyway, but I miss doing the podcast. BJ, how you been?
It's been great. You know, Mo, you've been traveling, and you know you're busy, and you know you're a global trendsetter. I see you on television.
Hey. Listen, I'm trying to work.
I know where you're at. I see what you're doing, but you know.
Hey, you don't see what I'm doing. And no one's seeing that. I've been traveling a little bit. I went to Abu Dhabi for the Celtics preseason games. I've come to a conclusion. I've been doing a lot of thinking, B. Now, you know me, I love the UK. I represent the UK wherever I go, try and grow the game in the UK.
Right.
But B, I think I'm allergic to the UK.
Oh.
See, I went to America in August. I came back from America. I was sick for two weeks. I went to Abu Dhabi a couple of weeks ago. I come back from Abu Dhabi. I've been sick for a week since then.
Okay.
Every time I come back to this damn near cold and rain, I get sick. I feel like I'm getting to the stage in life. I turned 30 in less than a month now. I need some good weather. So I don't know whether it's the TV networks in the UAE or in the United States, but somewhere with some sunshine, please holler at your boy, because I don't know if I can survive another winter over here. It's like Game of Thrones. Winter is coming, and I don't want to be here for the winter. I want to be in King's Landing where it's nice. I want to be by the ocean. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's, you know, Mo, you just kind of have to figure it out. You know, you're at that age now where you want to figure it out, and it's good. And I lived in Chicago for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And I just woke up one day and said, you know what?
I'm going back to Cali, Cali.
Yeah, I just woke up one day. It was just one of those days. I love the city. I grew up in Detroit, went to school in Iowa. I was kind of in the Midwest. Mm. It was like January one day. And I just said, I want to see the sun.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was in Abu Dhabi, I was waking up to the palm trees and the ocean, and I was like, why? You know, if every day was like this, my mood would just be better. And and here's the thing, the UK as a country is falling apart, because you know what I saw today, BJ?
What'd you see?
We grew up, when we were kids, we grew up on what we call two for two, okay?
Okay.
So after school, you would go to the chicken shop where they sell fried chicken and chips. And you would get two strip burgers and two portions of fries for £2.
What's a strip burger?
Imagine a burger bun, like bread,
mm-hmm.
Lettuce, sauce, and chicken strips, fried chicken strips inside the burger, strip burger. So
they call it a strip burger.
Burger. Well, that two for two, guess how much it is now?
How much?
£9.50. How is it still called a two for two? This country is finished. I need to leave. I've had enough. But anyway. Anyway, let's get back to the basketball, BJ. Where do we want to start? We can start with, we'll get into preseason. Let's start with this. I went to Abu Dhabi to watch my Boston Celtics, the world champion Boston Celtics, the greatest franchise of all time, take on the champions from the year before, the Denver Nuggets, in some preseason action. And do you know what I was really looking for, though, during the games?
No, what were you really looking for?
Russell Westbrook's debut on the Denver Nuggets. I was fascinated to see how they could accommodate Russell Westbrook into that team because they do a great job. You know how everyone complains about players who can't shoot a lot of threes, you know, like Ben Simmons or whoever, but the Denver Nuggets do a great job of accommodating Aaron Gordon, and he plays that power forward position perfectly. And I was thinking, are they just going to use Westbrook as kind of a mini Aaron Gordon? What are they going to run for him? What are they going to get going for him? And he really impressed me in that first game. You know, he came in off the bench with the bench unit, and he was impressive in those minutes doing what he does, but he was also knocking down a couple threes. The shot was looking smoother. I liked what I saw from that, especially with the loss of KCP. I did. I could see the potential in, you know, the schemes they were trying to run for him. And I think if they can make that work, because obviously preseason, you know, the defense isn't going to be the same as in the regular season or the playoffs. But if they can make that work, I do have some hope still for Denver, despite them losing more and more of their depth every year. What did you think about that? Did you manage to catch the Abu Dhabi games?
I did. I saw him play in one game. I think he played in one
he
game.
Didn't play and the second
set
game.
Out. Yeah. Didn't play the second game. Okay. You know, it takes time. You know, Mo, The thing that just really obvious to me in watching the Denver Nuggets is how good Mr. Jokic is. He's
Oh yeah.
just,
Oh, especially with no Horford or Porzingis.
he's just, he's just an elite player. And his impact, he's so impactful in the game. And, you talk about scoring and dominating and rebounds and stats, but he just has a presence out there on the floor where it's really hard not to be good playing alongside him because he makes all the right plays. Besides being a phenomenal offensive player, I mean, his passing ability will just make you better. You don't have to be a three-point shooter with him. You just got to, ball movement, player movement, right? We talk about it all the time. So Russell will have an opportunity to figure out what he contributes to the team. He's not the athlete he used to be, but he's still an elite athlete. He may not be the best 3-point shooter, but he still will figure out how to play with the spacing that they have because Jokic plays in different spaces on the floor. When you compare him to traditional centers or how the game used to be played, I mean, he's literally all over the floor. So it's going to be easy for, I think, Russell to figure out how to play with a great player like this. It's no doubt who's the best player on the team. It's no doubt who's going to get the touches. It's no doubt who's going to get the play in the last 2 minutes of a game. So it's just a matter of you providing the correct spacing, making the correct reads so that you can allow your best player to be a great player. So I think Russell should transition fairly quickly there because they want to play fast. Why? You want to get as many easy shots as you can. And your best player is a very unselfish player. So it's not like you'll be trying to figure out how to get touches because you just got to get open. He's going to find you. I mean, he passes it over top, bounce
And there
passes
was a lot of
around you.
times where they used Russell Westbrook as a screener on Jokic's guy who was guarding Jokic to get Jokic onto the post to try and force that switch. And then either Jokic's got a mismatch on the post or Russell's going to be open. And then he can go cut to the hoop for a lob, or he's going to be open in space to create for himself or create for someone else. So I liked it. I liked it. I think Jokic is the perfect fit to play alongside Westbrook. But there was two other things I was looking for in that game. One of the other ones was Jason Tatum's jump shot, because a lot was made of his jump shot during the playoffs and even during last season. If you break down the percentages, his jump shot wasn't even bad when he was open or wide open. It was only the contested ones. And there seemed to be a little hitch in his jump shot, whether that's through injuries or whatever. But he's really worked on it this offseason, and the jump shot did look a lot smoother. What are your thoughts? I know the Celtics played Philly last night and they played a couple other preseason games. What do you think about Tatum's jumper?
Every year is different. And we'll see. Last year, you don't know. You don't know. Maybe he had something going on with him. I remember what is a couple, was it last year or the year before he had an ankle injury? You never know what's going on with players. You never your role changes. The one thing that did change that I saw change was the emergence of Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown in the playoffs was arguably their best player.
Finals MVP.
Yeah, and he really stepped up and carried the load. And not to say that he is the best player on the team or he isn't, but what we know is players step up at different stages. Jaylen Brown is a bona fide superstar in this league. He is an elite player on both ends of the floor. And so we always start talking about numbers and stats and all those things. However, the fact remains, the Boston Celtics won the championship a year ago. And as you've watched them in the preseason this year, they look like they are playing with more confidence than they did a year ago. The coaches look more confident, the players look more confident. And I think they, when I say they, I think this team is ready to prove that it wasn't a fluke just from a year ago. In particular, Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah,
And
and they've heard all of the, saying they had an easy run to the championship, and then what happened in the Olympics with Jaylen Brown not being selected and Jason Tatum not getting minutes. And I think that they're really, really going to come out on smoke this year.
Yeah, so I think this is a season that could really, go for them from this standpoint. I think they have an opportunity this year to really step up and really prove that they are an elite team and really make a run. They're at the right age They're at the right time in their careers. And I just think they have an opportunity now to really show what they're really made of.
The last time the Celtics won a championship, 2008, they started the following season 27-2, which included a 19-game win streak. I'm looking for something like that to start this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible with this team. I mean, this team is built. I mean, they have age on their side. The only older player is your guy, Al, but Uncle Al is...
Don't worry, don't worry. My friends were laughing at me yesterday. I said, listen, Paul Zingis is out till New Year. Now, Horford's obviously got to be resting a bit. I believe in Xavier Tillman. He's showing off that three-point shot as well in the preseason. I'm a believer.
Is he going to be out? So what's going on with Porzingis? It's always these injuries. Yeah. What's going on with him?
He's out until, I believe, January. He had some sort of procedure in the offseason. And I just think they're not trying to rush him back. Because the biggest thing for them is, I think with the depth of the team and the quality of the rest of the guys, they believe they could still get a good seed. And they'd rather have him healthy for a postseason run, like fully healthy, rather than rushing him back just to start the season. So I'm not mad at them taking in time.
So what did he have surgery on? What did he do? What's going on here? I need to know. What did he...
It was a foot injury. A torn medical retinaculum, allowing dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds complicated. He went for surgery on June 27th, and it's 5 to 6 months for him to return. So December would be the earliest he could return, if not in January. But they showed in the playoffs, even without him, that they're a pretty good team. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not too worried.
Right.
The other thing I was looking for, the final thing I was looking for in those two preseason games in Abu Dhabi, my new friend, Mr. Derek White. Because if you didn't know, BJ, you don't have social media, so you didn't know. I did a great interview with Mr. Derek White. That's going to be out on YouTube soon. And we played a little bit of NBA 2K25.
We played a little game. I know who won the game for sure.
No. Well, here's the thing. I offered him a bet, and I'm not a betting man. You know me, BJ. I don't gamble. But I thought, let's make this interesting. So, do you know what the stakes of the bet were? This is a podcast exclusive. The podcast exclusive, because I've not put the video out yet. No, it's not the championship. I can't take that away from him. I said to him, Derek, if I win this game, next time I'm in Boston, I want courtside seats at the Garden, which I don't think is too much of an ask. If you win this game, I will shave my head and look like you. And he accepted the terms of the bet. We were playing. I'm not going to tell you what happened in the game. He was a lot better than I expected, though. Because he came in, he's like, no, I don't really get much time to play games. He was much better than I thought he was going to be. But we didn't actually get to finish the game, which was a shame. And then I get back to my hotel, and I get a notification from my Instagram. And it says, the Boston Celtics are now following you. I thought, that's pretty cool. And then I got another notification. It says the Boston Celtics tagged you in their story. Do you know what it said on the Boston Celtics Instagram story to their millions of followers, BJ? You don't care about social media, but for me, this was pretty cool. It was a picture of me and Derek, and it said, Derek White met Mo Mootsy in Abu Dhabi. Not Mo Mootsy met Derek White. Not Derek White met a fan. Derek White met Mo Mootsy in Abu Dhabi. And then the next post was a clip of the game saying, we need to get Mo to Boston to run it back. So I said, hell yeah. So we're going to be going to Boston this season. And we're going to be running it back. BJ, you got to pull up as well. I know you don't like the cold weather, but you got to pull up as well. So shout out to my people at the Boston Celtics. It's all love. But that was pretty special for me. That was pretty special for me.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
So
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So I come back from Abu Dhabi now, and I've been ill. I've been under the weather. So I've not really been watching any of the preseason, BJ. So now this is your chance to tell me what is the standout storylines? What are the key things that you've seen, or the biggest things that we should be keeping an eye on that are new in this preseason?
Wow. What we should be watching for is...
Because I've seen a few highlights, but I want to know.
I'm gonna say this. The Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, I just casually watching.
Yeah.
all of the teams, right? You know, and watch. I watched the Spurs last night. Wembanyama didn't play, but I watched one night he did play.
Oh, I saw a couple of the lobs from Chris Paul.
Yeah, this has the potential to be a special season for Wembanyama. And not just because of the stats he can put up, but I think they are going to be much improved.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Actually, I saw the Thunder play against the Spurs one night. I was just, flipping through the NBA. Mo's hanging out in Abu Dhabi doing whatever Mo's doing. So I just got to watch. I don't have anyone to call, so I just, I'm just,
Yeah, forget talking to my family downstairs. I'm gonna just sit in my office and watch basketball.
Yeah, I'm just gonna watch some basketball, I'm just gonna watch some basketball. I'm gonna watch the league. I'm gonna watch games. This kid, Williams,
Jalen Williams. Yeah.
Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams looks like he has taken the step now where he's pushing into that.
Yeah, third year. It's natural for him to make a leap because we saw flashes
Yeah,
of it last year.
he had a half in that game where, if you just was watching the game, you say that's a top 10 player. I'm gonna say between him and Shea Alexander, they've got something figured out right now. One of the most undervalued, I didn't make a lot about it, but I thought it was a good pickup. The Caruso pickup, I think, is going to be very beneficial to them because of his versatility, because he can guard multiple positions. But Jalen Williams and Shea Alexander, that might be the best backcourt duo now in basketball. I like their team. The Hardenstein is going to give them a little girth up front, little size, little strength. Caruso is going to give them the flexibility to defend those wings, guards, from whatever. So your offensive players don't have to play, those guys, like for instance, Shea Alexander doesn't have to guard Ja Morant for 48 minutes or what have you in a playoff series, or guard Anthony Edwards or whoever they see. I really like what I'm seeing from this team. Now, I haven't watched all of the teams, but if you just like, if I just took a snapshot, the Oklahoma City Thunder look like they're going to be really good this year.
I got them winning the
Really good.
West. I got them winning the West.
It could very well be, like you got to prove it. You know my rule. Give me about 20, 25 games. But if it was just a snapshot for preseason, Jalen Williams took a step. I mean, he took a major step. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And him and Shea Alexander at the guard position, that's going to be a problem for whoever they play. They are a problem. And then when you start adding their role players, Chet Holmgren look like he's going to take a leap. Hardenstein, Caruso, they're locked into their roles. But I like the fact that they've given them a little size now, and they can play a little bit more physical than what they were just from a year ago. I think this team looks to be a championship caliber team. And I think Sam Presti and company down there, who's the president, has done an excellent job in putting together this team. We'll see. But if you're asking me what has stood out, it's the Thunder. The Thunder really look like they've made an improvement from just a year ago.
I hear it. I hear it. So the other thing that I've seen in the highlights I've been watching over in the East, we talk about it a lot, but what I've seen so far of Karl-Anthony Towns playing center for the New York Knicks, the playmaking and the two-man game of him and Brunson, that's looking pretty strong. But how have they looked defensively so far?
For the Knicks, look, the Knicks are going to play hard. Knicks are going to have an opportunity to win a lot of games this year. Okay, I have no doubt about that. But here's the moment of truth for the Knicks. They have to get to, at the very least, they have to get to the conference finals. At the very least. Now, based on everything that I'm reading thus far, this is the Knicks fan base. They're expecting a championship this year. So, which is going to put them right up against your Boston Celtics, because the Celtics look like they're going to be there. The Celtics, unless there's something that we can't see, the Celtics are going to be there. They, all out of all the teams I've seen, they look like the best team that I've seen thus far in the preseason. They look good. By the way, the Golden State Warriors kind of surprised me as well. I mean, Buddy Hield, that might be another underrated pickup. Buddy Hield, I watched this guy score like seven, I think 8 or 9 threes or the other night. But your Celtics are going to be there. So I think the only thing that we can say about the Knicks, can they beat the Celtics? That's their moment of truth. There's nothing else to discuss here with them. I don't see they're going to win over 50 games. Karl Anthony Towns
did
is
you
going
watch
to
any
do
of the
what he.
Sixers?
Yes, I've seen the Sixers, but I haven't seen Joel Embiid play.
Oh, has he not been playing?
Joel Embiid, I saw they lost big. Now, what's his name had a big game, Paul George. I saw them play against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They lose big. Julius Randle didn't play, but they lose big, and Joel Embiid didn't play. But Paul George looked like Paul George.
Well,
Tyrese
he always
Maxey
looks like
looks,
Paul George until.
I mean, he scored a lot of points. You know, you could say once we get Embiid back, you know, it's like one of those things. You know, he had 20-something points. Maxey had 20 points, and then you say, well, they put
But
Joel
it's going
Embiid,
to be
and then.
interesting because I thought Embiid would be raring to go because he's kind of stayed in shape in the offseason to play in the Olympics, unlike usual, where he takes a while to get into it. But who knows? Do you know what I did see? I saw one clip. One clip that's really piqued my interest. And it was the Memphis Grizzlies. And they ran a set, and this is proper basketball nerd stuff, but they ran a set where they ran an Iverson cut for Ja Morant. Now, if you don't
Oh, then
know,
lobbed, yeah, and then lobbed it to the big guy, right?
So if you don't know an Iverson cut, right? So imagine Ja Morant starts on the right wing. He basically cuts in a straight line horizontally across two screens. So basically along the free throw line and then curls off it. Goes to the basket. And whilst he does that, you've got Aldama who's kind of trailing Ja Morant to pop. While he does that, Luke Kennard goes from the left corner to the right corner and then Zach Edey rolls to the hoop. And I saw that one play and that really caught my attention because if that's anything of, I know it's ridiculous to make a take off one play, but if that's anything like what we're going to be expecting to see from their offense this season, man, I cannot wait to watch the Grizzlies. I cannot wait.
I think I called you over the summer and I told you about Zach Edey at Summer League. You know, I might have made a, I might have made a, I might have undervalued what he brings to the table because he is NBA ready right now. He sets terrific screens. He has great hands and you can't switch on him. And with Ja Morant's ability to pass over the top with his athleticism to Zach Edey is going to be a major problem. So over the summer, I think he's going to be one of the best. I mean, he has a chance to win Rookie of the Year this year.
I think Reed Shepard though, for Houston. What do you think of him?
I've seen him play in the preseason. I just don't know how many minutes he can get at that guard position. I mean, you know, you have Green, and then you have what's our
Van
guy,
Fleet.
Van Fleet. Then you have what, Thompson twin. What is it, Amen? I just don't know how many minutes he could get. He looks like he's going to be a good player. I just don't know how many minutes are available right now because they look like a team. They're going to take another leap as far as a jump in where they were just for a year ago. So. But I like him as a player, but Zach Edey looked like he's going to be able to play, going to be in the rotation, and he's going to be the starting center there. Now, the other kid I think is going to be terrific is the kid, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correct, Connect, the kid for the
Yeah,
Lakers.
Dalton Connect.
Dalton Connect. Now, Dalton Connect looked like he, you know, it's like everyone's talking about everyone else, but he looks like he is a prototypical NBA wing player.
And you know his coach is going to get him some shots.
Yeah, I don't know how many shots are available. You know, that's the problem.
I know. Bronny needs his shots. I know Bronny needs some shots this, too.
Dalton Connect looks like he's going to be a player. Okay, and I'm going to say this. Dalton Connect looked like he's going to be a really good player for quite some time in the NBA. Really good pickup by the Lakers. He looks like a terrific young player. And if he was probably at any other team other than the Lakers, you probably would say he could be easily rookie of the year. I just don't know if there'll be enough minutes there, but he is a really good player. I've seen him play a couple times out here in LA, and I like what I'm seeing. Really, really good pickup. He's a mature player, mature game. He has a mature game about him. You know, he knows how to play. Played,
what, 3 years in college, 4 years in college.
Yeah, something like that. But he looks like he's ready to play right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good little catch up on the preseason. We've got about, 9 days now until the regular season tips off and Banner 18 is raised and the quest for Banner 19 begins. And all the other 29 teams, they do whatever they're doing too. But but anyway, we're back. There should be no more interruptions now. And we'll be here every day, all season long. If you do want to join the Hoop Genius Fantasy League, make sure you're a member of our Discord server, which you can join through the link in our description. We're doing a little fantasy league. And BJ, I'm going to actually need a favor from you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to need you to send out a signed BJ Armstrong jersey to whoever has the winning team in our fantasy league this year. Can we make that happen?
Done.
All right. Done. It's a done deal. Okay, my people, the Discord link is in the description for you. Make sure you join there. You can find the information about the fantasy league we got going on. We'll be back tomorrow. Tuesday. Tomorrow with another episode. And subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.